Hello and welcome to Blah 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 podcast with Shane Malone, not Shane Hughes, the other Shane in my life. I'm your host, Jonathan Sheehan. Shane, introduce yourself to Shane Malone.
Hey, I'm Shane. Yeah, I'm the Mickey Juicer of the
Why are you putting
world.
that American accent? Hey, what up, guys? Hey, California, what's going on today?
No American accent. Maybe it's because I spend too much time in America.
You
I spend
do.
Too much time
You
watching
spend.
American shit on TV.
That's true. Shane has a house in Florida and a wife and a child that most people don't know about, including his Irish wife.
And I've got my best buddy Johnny here.
Thanks, Shane. Normally it's Shane Hughes, who's a stand-up comedian, who normally co-hosts.
Mr. Hughesy has gone to England.
He's gone to England. We actually ended up in Wales.
The fucking ages.
Shaking off the plane yesterday in Bristol and took the wrong train. He was supposed to get the train to Devon.
Tool.
But he ended up in Wales. I don't know how that. Wales is another country, right? Isn't it?
Yeah,
like it's
well,
like,
it is
yeah.
technically another country, even though they're a giant thing.
Yeah, it's like, we don't know how that happens. So, Shane, you're the first person who's not a stand-up comedian to be on the podcast.
Hey!
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I can still go blah, 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 though.
Go blah, blah, blah all you want. That's the concept of the show.
Yeah.
Just to explain, me and Shane have known each other since, what, 13, 14?
Something like that, from second
yeah.
grade. God, those were the days, Johnny.
Since we were sperm. We used to just float around chatting to each other.
I'm still the sperm of your life, Johnny.
I'm the spawn of my life. I don't know about that. But yeah, no, so we don't chat. We went to school together here in Tullamore County Offaly. We went to the Tech.
The TEC. Tullamore College now is this
Tullamore, that's the posh name for now.
Oh, yeah.
College.
College.
It's college people, it's not really. It's barely a school, quite frankly, left out of college.
And Johnny, what are we going to be on about now today?
I was just forming off shit. We don't have a time limit here. We can take our time. We can relax. We're just having a chat. No, but this, yeah. So we kind of probably 17 or 18. Me and Shane ventured into the world of making films, and we made our first film. Me and you and two of our other friends, Ken and Barry Colton, who are not here tonight.
Don't worry, you
were this evening.
We don't want to say too much about Knackerface.
Yeah. The name of the film was Knackerface 1.
1?
Yeah.
It? Oh, yeah, I suppose it was.
Yeah, then there was Knackerface 2, Die Knackerface Die.
Die Knacker Die. You're
yeah, and then there was Knackerface 3, the one we couldn't be bothered to come up with.
3D.
In 3D and IMAX, yeah. We shot that on IMAX. Please check your IMAX for local listening. And but around that time, if you remember back, this going back from me, Shane, probably 18, 19, so that's about 10 years ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
You auditioned for a movie in town and you got the lead role.
Oh,
my.
Oh, yeah.
This is,
that.
Shane's a fucking star, people. Don't fuck around there. Like, this guy walked in the audition for like a small part and got the lead role.
Sure, that's why Johnny picks me for these special one-liners
in the movie. Well, he's going to be, he doesn't know yet, he's going to be the co-star in the next one.
Hey, there you go.
it's a high concept sketch. It's a 2-minute sketch. You're going to be called male lead. You and Shane Hughes.
Yeah,
the two Shanes in my life.
Shane versus Shane.
That would be a good movie, actually.
That could be a good title. Yeah.
No, but well, Shane gets to shift the girl there.
Which Shane?
The Shane Hughes.
Oh God, perfect.
As in, like you don't want to, as in, or. Like, why wouldn't you want to shift a girl? In a movie, like, obviously.
Well, no
fact,
comment.
No comment, yeah. Shane's alluding to the fact that he's 1 year married. Yeah, 1 year.
Married already.
1 year anniversary.
Yes.
And she's actually from Thailand. She's one of those men. She has a very Asian name.
I'm sure she'll hear this.
Has, yeah, that's her Asian name. Has.
Hi, Has.
Okay, let's not get racist. I don't think I'm fucking fired or some shit or flying with the podcast,
this is what happens now when I meet up with Johnny. He just makes me go a little bit crazy, so ignore some of the stuff that I say.
This is the truth. We're also talking to the microphone like it's a person. You're all there like trying to explain to the microphone, hello, I'm not a it's not a person, it's a machine. You don't go to the ATM and go, oh, I'm a lovely person, please give me money.
I'd love it if it could actually, because I'd be like, Can you just put me out 10,000 euros?
Yeah, I helped that woman the other week, so give me 10 grand, you know? I always use a condom, so come on, pin back.
Did you use it?
No, shut your mouth. That's not going on the podcast, okay? Don't say any names, you fucking idiot. So, like, I'm going to tell the story, right? Like, I'm not going to say the name of the person, so don't say the person's name, Shane, okay? But a couple of years, or 3 years ago, that we were
treated. SD?
Shut up! 3 years ago, there's an incident with me and a mutual female acquaintance of ours. And there was physical interaction between me and her. And I told Shane, because he's my friend, and I assumed he would, like, you know, take his mouth shut. This would lead to 2 weeks later, when I was at his parents' house, when his mother informed me that she knew of my physical interaction with this female. Shane told his mother, I assume he hung up the phone and rang his mother straight away. Jesus, man, I won't believe it. Johnny got his hold on her. I mean, I just assume, how did that conversation go down? Like,
you were, well, the conversation, they just...
who tells
I
her,
can't remember exactly.
Who tells their parents what their friends are doing sexually? Do you go home to your mother's house and say, like, oh, I fingered this girl last night?
We have an open relationship.
I don't have an open relationship with my mother. Well, I did, but our father found out. But anyway.
But no. you were obviously very horny at that night, China.
Well, okay, we're not going to go into details because people can figure it out. That's as much as we're going to talk about. We're never going to mention it.
See,
again.
This is called Johnny's podcast. It's not called.
No, it's
Johnny. Blah 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 podcast.
It is a blah blah blah. Somebody has to keep ordering. So going back to the Blackfish trilogy.
Go on.
We're kind of going through our lives there. After that, before that, Ken, our friend Ken Colton, made a movie. Remember, we were in the woods and we wore Statue of Liberty masks and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
You notice there's a team here where it's mostly we shot in the woods because.
Because we don't have permission to shoot anywhere else, really?
Yeah, they didn't actually shoot the dial.
We probably didn't even have permission to shoot around forests because I think there was one incident.
Yeah. This guy, right, so we were filming in the woods, and to clarify, this was the next project, 1048. And in the film, we have to wear monk costumes. If you watch the movie 1048, it makes sense. It's a movie basically about a bunch of people that wake up in the woods and are being hunted by different types of people. And one group of the people are dressed in monk costumes because they're kind of cheap.
We are cheap.
So we're in the woods filming, and it's like the three guys in the monk costume are like beating up one of the other guys or some shit. And then this guy walks over and goes, "What are you doing?" And
he must have thought something that's totally weird.
He must have probably kidnapped you, Roger. He was just beating the shit out of you in monk costumes.
And filming it all.
And filming it. We're like, oh, it's just like a film, whatever. And he goes, "Is it for RT?" It's like, does it fucking look like this is party? We're there with like a shitty handheld camera, like four people in the woods, like fucking middle of the day. It's like, he didn't seem to believe us when we told him that, like,
no,
it's just a short film we're wrecking ourselves. Like,
I got a bit paranoid after
He informed us that he was the ranger of the forest.
Yeah.
The fucking Power Ranger, more like it probably. But I don't know what the means Park Ranger. I don't know what the fuck he was. But
fucking prick.
By any chance, if you're that bollocks that 5 years ago, stop, that's in the forest and you're listening to this, you're a fucking prick.
You know who you are.
Yeah, you know who you are. Imagine if he was. It's like, oh, I'm going to fight those guys. We live in 6 towns with Muse. Come find us. Don't worry. Shane's still be here. Don't worry.
Shane Hughes. He was over here.
Yeah, well, Shane.
No, really, no, me. I'm far, far away.
You live 20 minutes up the fucking road.
Why not, Johnny? Thank you.
Far, far away. I'm going to go back to India. You're fucking 20 minutes away. What the fuck? But I don't even remember the name of that movie. The one we made in the woods, the Statue of Liberty mast. Remember the one that was after that phase before 1048? You remember? You know
well,
the one
I wasn't
you
actually
there,
really
yeah,
in that movie.
Sorry, yeah, no, it was Alan. Alan
kind
of filled in for you because you were too busy fingering Hazel.
That's right.
At the time. It's been hours. I was surprised it didn't fall off, to be honest with you.
I'm trying to think of what was a river or something?
Oh, yeah. Lake Terror.
Lake Terror.
That's it, yeah. That's the other project. And after Lake Terror, we began the 2-year process of making 1048, which you were a star of. And you're now currently and sit in your pants. This is not visual shit, so when you do stuff like that, you have to explain it. That you just...
Okay, but sure, are you gonna tell the whole world if I'm taking off my whole trousers?
Yeah, because I'd be fairly uncomfortable. I don't know if I told you this before, but it is mandatory to wear trousers when making this podcast. I didn't realise I had to explain this to you, that you were like, oh, we're making a podcast, I'm gonna take my clothes off, shit. It's like, no, we have to take our clothes on. Okay.
It's just my you know what, it's a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, Shane has a massive cock. Just you know. It's fucking huge. I wonder if he has a married one.
Yeah.
For a woman, she probably doesn't get any rest in peace.
No, it's not his, and it's has China.
Oh Jesus. No, it's not. She's Irish, I just made that up. She lives up the road, she's Shane, so tell us how you met him.
Oh yeah, my friend Ken was actually going out with his sister at the time, and there was a night that Ken wanted somebody to go out with him, and for some reason he wanted somebody to go out with him. I couldn't understand the reason, but in the end I was sort of set himself.
Ken wasn't actually you on a date. He wasn't like, oh Shane, me and you go out there.
No, not exactly, but I was thinking to myself, I don't want to go out in case there's no other female interaction there, or female females for me to play with there at the time. But then my father sort of said to me, Shane, go on out. You could have to get an opportunity. It's like, who knows? Who knows what could come about of it? Oh,
No, I'll take off.
I'm talking a lot of shit here.
It's not even talking crap. No, you're not. Just tell the story. Don't be worried about it.
Anyway, I ended up myself. Ken walked into the Ridge House, and
which I saw in my club, by the way.
There, far, far away, was this.
What was this far, far away stuff?
What is this? Far in the distance, over a bit away.
A fucking 10 feet in front of me. What the fuck are you on about? Wake up in the morning, be like, I'm going far, far away downstairs. The house is not that big.
I'm actually a big fan of Far, Far Away, starring Tom Cruise in the fourth
film. That fucking classic movie, Far, Far Away, that everybody fucking remembers that you watch religiously every morning, like, oh, far, far.
Anyway. Where Nicole gets seductively naked. I think in that movie.
Yeah, I bet you remember that part, yeah. Yeah, so Hazel's 10 feet in front of you, not far, far away.
Yeah, well, there was this girl. A bit of the way. In a long red jacket. No, that was probably just. I like red, everybody. Johnny's wearing red.
I am. Just Johnny. To turn shit on, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
And. Yeah, I took a liking to this girl that Ken's girlfriend had with her, and I went over, and of course, typical me, I was shy, not really saying much, and the women sort of thought that I was staring at all their shoes. So they sort of said that at our wedding last year, and I didn't know up until the wedding that they thought I was actually staring at their shoes all of that night.
Also, Shane has a foot fetish, which is probably good. Oh, yeah. Look at the feet in her. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's weird.
Lovely pair of shoes on that.
Yeah. Yeah. When he goes to the beach, he just goes to the, you know, he just walks around looking at their feet. Oh, yeah. He never knew this beach, he's just like,
look at the veins. Look at the veins sticking out of her foot.
Fucking toenails.
I'm not to burst the blood vessel there. Anyway, yeah. Things led on from there, and 8 years later, 8-9 years later, now that we're together, we're married.
Yeah, you did. Like,
hey,
you did talk to her, like you didn't
I did eventually. Yeah, I did eventually talk to her. Yeah. It sort of was very quiet for most of that night until we were up in the nightclub, and then Hayes says, "Would you like to come and dance?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
that probably is exactly what you already did.
That was.
I do not dispute that. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't there. I probably actually. Poor girl was probably like, oh, this guy's kind of shy. Why? Hey, want to go for that?
Yeah!
Fucking yeah! He probably picked her up and carried her on the shoulder and carried her to that floor. Whoa!
I nearly ate into her.
You probably did.
5 minutes later after that.
So it was just this time last year that we got married at the Blue Radisson Hotel.
Oh, the hotel? No, Jesus.
It wasn't my fucking wedding. Why should I remember? Oh, sorry, I forgot where your wedding was.
It was actually the Hudson Bay. I liked Hudson Bay because of its step.
Oh, fuck off. You're not getting a free fucking meal or anything off these guys. I'd be like, oh, Hudson Bay's the best.
Hudson Bay's the best.
Fuck off. Hudson Bay, a bunch of pack.
You've got a great hotel, great staff, great location. Christ.
Poor bastard, pour yourself out there. Jesus. Why don't you advertise fucking Budweiser or some shit while you're at there? Like every can of Budweiser.
What's Budweiser's main headline?
It's
World's Famous Beer or something? I don't know.
We're not really going to fucking advertise. But so kind of going back a bit, we kind of, after Lake Terror, you kind of disappeared, and then you kind of came back at war for 1048.
I came back. I was not wanting during Lake Terror.
I don't know what it was, but yeah, you weren't around.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Because it took fucking ages to make, as usual. But for 1048, you were there. You were there for the whole Generous, and 1048 was a 2-year period, and you were one of the main stars. And it's not available anywhere, apparently. It's not on DVD, it's not on VHS, it's not on the internet.
No. I can download a video of it if you like.
Good luck if you can find it. But 1048 took 2 years to make, and when it was finished, we all took a year off from filmmaking.
God.
And about this time 2 years ago, actually, we shot the DTA.
DTA.
Which is currently available on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, DTA Shot Irish Film, you can watch that. You can see Shane does a very memorable cameo.
One-liner. I was only good enough for a one-liner then.
Well, you saw the show, so it's the feedback I get. To be fair, you out-acted the main two actors in the movie, but that wasn't hard. There was a paper bag blowing around in the background that out-acted them we'd never seen her in. We had the CGI remove the paper bag because it was out-acting the two main actors. That came about from a true story. Tell me the true story about that, the catchphrase.
Oh, yeah. I was out one night with Johnny and his friend Porrig. Johnny actually went home early, as far as I can remember.
Barry was there, and we got split up. Me and Barry went kind of one side of the club, and he went the other side.
Okay, right.
We both got really drunk.
Yeah.
And me and Barry went home, but we didn't go home like early, like it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, or whatever. But you got
myself and Porrig were just
he wasn't drinking
enjoying the night, and I think Porrig was trying to pull women all over himself.
Yeah,
that night.
Pull himself.
I was stuck for a lift home, and Porrig delightfully asked me to or. Said that he'd actually bring me home, and I was like, yeah, okay, sure. So I was pretty much well on it actually that night. myself.
You know, over it.
And because I was so well out of it, I decided to stick my head out the window when I seen a young couple walking the streets of Tullamore.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
At 3 o'clock in the morning. The whole town was packed, by the way, so I think everybody pretty much heard me. Out at the top of my voice, as loud as I could, "Go on, lad! Give her some Mickey juice!"
And Shane, I can imagine Shane doing that at 3 o'clock in the morning and just the stairs you got. But that wasn't it, though. There was more after that. Every couple they drove past, Shane started some sort of words of encouragement.
Yeah.
Go, give it to her, lad. Oh, stick
now,
it in.
I'm normally not as open as that when I'm sober. I'm a quiet type person to. I'm sure Johnny can vouch for that.
I don't think you're that quiet.
But that night was a bit crazy. I probably had a few Jager bombs in me.
When you get drunk, you do stuff like that. When you're drunk, you don't do sensible things like charity work.
Of course not.
You'll get really drunk and help homeless people. It's a weird thing. It's worth it getting drunk and doing stupid stuff because people just forgive you.
It was probably my best line ever.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. That line was used in the film. It stole the show, in my opinion, the 10-minute short film. And Shane's going to be the next sketch. I always thought the you could have went into the acting and stuff, but you never really pursued it much. Is there any reason other than being an orphan? Did you ever think about it? Did you ever?
I love Fair City, guys.
Yeah, but Shane, I did
Fair
say
City are always advertising actors.
Yeah, but
Shane,
I said like you wanted to get into acting. Why would you go to Fair City? Like, I don't understand that. Like, as I said, I'm getting acting and I'm working ESP. I don't see how that.
I'm sorry for branching off. I just suddenly
you
come up with Fair City. I suddenly come up with Fair City because
you would act every guy
on websites. They're always looking for actors to act as extras in Fair City, and it just came into my head when Johnny was on.
Ever since that, about doing like going for outside of our films. Like, I know we didn't tell the story that you got the role back in 1919.
Oh yeah,
the lead role in the movie.
Yeah,
and it kind of fell apart as these things do with short films and independent films.
The reason it fell apart, I think I was one of the first to actually drop out of that because the guy that was doing it was wanting us to stay down in.
What's his name? Spielberg?
No,
Scorsese.
Was wanting us to stay down in Cork for a whole week, and I wasn't even going to be paid for the time that I was doing the acting and all like that. And
you didn't want to, you had a sex scene and you didn't fancy the other one. You were like, first Megan Fox. Like, I want to get my hold on with somebody good. Like, I could act up against her.
So I was actually going to be losing out on money on where I was working as well during that week. So like I just decided it wasn't worth.
But you did also went to another thing. Me and you went to an X Factor audition.
Oh my god!
You're
really bringing it.
I'm bringing it all out. Put it all on the table. Shane's over the years done a lot of karaoke stuff, done very well and stuff.
Oh yeah, that all started out. Karaoke started out on the night of my 24th birthday party in the once opened The Bruins pub in Tullamore, now defunct, now gone because of them being. Being shit.
You could have said a lot worse, but that's it. The only way is drinking a drug dealer might be a bigger factor.
Yeah.
Let's just get really live with this.
Anyway, my big song that moment was D12's what's this?
Trouble Pills, is it?
No. Right. My band.
You did the whole thing.
Because I'd done so well in it, I decided to enter into a proper karaoke after that night.
Yeah.
There was a karaoke thing going on a few weeks later. And my big song, of course, was My Band, My Band. And I got everybody shaking their asses to that song.
Yeah. I also remember there's a video of you singing a Robin Williams song. And do you want to tell them what you do during the video or a song?
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Well, shit, didn't know about this podcast. This is your night.
Yeah. There was a thing going on over where my parents lived. They were trying to get people to do all different things.
Like a charity.
For a charity thing, yeah.
Right.
And for charity and all like that. And I decided I'd do Robbie Williams. And they also wanted to do a bit of stage acting while they were doing it wasn't just singing part of it.
Yeah.
Just to try and get brownie points, because it was all based on points. There was a competition between two or three different parishes around the area. And I decided that I'd do the whole Robbie Williams take on his song. What was the song again?
Rock DJ, no?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. The one, Johnny.
No, I watched the video a million times. So. You'll find out why in a minute I watched it a million times.
I decided to go all the way with it, and I went down to my jocks and the crowd went wild.
There was also a full Monty moment there.
There was a full Monty moment that ruined my big, because I was wanting to be the one person to go down to the my jocks, but the full Monty crew that
and you can search that, ladies and guys, on YouTube.
They actually really went all the way. They just had their hats. They did the proper full Monty.
Did you not think, well, like, you were fucking, I don't know, you would need like a carpet to cover up your stuff. Cover you, like, you fucking need a truck or something to just cover up your foot. You're like,
yeah.
You could, like, it would be one of those small baseball caps. Yeah, like, one of those big cowboy hats, maybe. Like, one of those big
tank hats. It would
squeeze it all, get it all in there. If you don't get stiffy, you'd be fucked all
together. Oh, Christ. I had a stiffy watching all the women anyway, definitely.
That's for everything we've got there. I hope there's women your own age, it wasn't that one. But no, we'll get back to the X Factor. There's a longer version of that story where we tell the whole story about like our special guest who was there that night, the X Factor. Remember, we had to go to the hotel and we had a special guest. Remember it was me, you, and another person that was at the hotel the night before?
Oh,
the
X-Band. I'm trying to think now. Follow up there. I can't actually remember.
Right, I thought, like, I had a bad memory. I'm really, like, acing you on this shit. Like, you're happy, yeah. The long part of the story was that a couple of... Shane was going for the X-Factor edition. He asked me to go away, and I gladly went as moral support. And we were originally going to drive off that morning, but... They start so early, don't they? You have to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So we decided to stay in the hotel the night before in Dublin.
Yeah.
Because the auditions were in Dublin. And we were going to get up like really early. Like. And a couple of weeks before that, I was talking to this girl online called Rachel. Yes, now you remember.
I thought it was a celebrity or something.
A special guest, yeah.
Special guest?
Who are you fucking thinking of? Simon Cowell.
Oh, my.
I remember Simon Cowell used to hang out with us.
Special guest.
Janet Jackson.
Christ almighty.
She was special.
All right. Go on. Yeah, this is Johnny's special guest.
I don't know. I met this girl online. Okay, so we'll go through the whole story. It might take a minute, Shane. So don't play the phone because I messed with the single.
Jesus.
Just fucking have a water or something. Just, at least look interested. Stop staring out the window. It's like a child. What can I touch? Sure. No, what happened was a couple of weeks prior, I was on this online dating website and I got chatting to this girl called Rachel from Canada. And she was saying she was coming over to Canada with her friend to Ireland. And I was like, oh, this could be fun, right? And I just so happened to be going to be in Dublin the Saturday with her friend Barry. And she was going to be in Dublin at that time. So I gave to my phone and I was like, oh, hey, you know, maybe we can meet up. And she's like, oh, I'm pretty busy, blah, 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 blah. So that Saturday, I get like a weird text offer, like, oh, like, I'm just got in a big, huge fight. It's like, it's all TikTok, and can we meet up for a drink? And I was like, cool. And I was thinking, like, maybe, you know, something could go down. So the first thing when we met up in Dublin, Temple Bar, was the fact that she is generally, honestly, not just like, some people say it jokingly, but she was an actual proper dwarf. She was,
yeah.
It wasn't like she was just short. I mean, she was like a legitimate dwarf.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know because I was talking to her online. So, like, yeah, I was, like, looking around the place, oh, where is she? And then, like, oh, I'm over here. I was like, oh, okay.
So that I'm actually still friends with her on Facebook. She's actually friends with me
for
some reason.
Yeah, well, it gets weirder. So, like, we go for a drink and she's really upset. And I'm, like, thinking that she got into this big fight with her friend that she was coming over from Canada. She was coming over with this female friend for, like, a holiday or whatever. And so we start chatting. And then, like, she starts telling me, like, oh, yeah, like, his parents are not happy, they don't want him to leave, and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what? And it turns out, like, she didn't come over with a friend, she met a guy, like, she was talking to a guy online in Ireland, and when she came over, she hooked up with him. And she expected this guy to leave Ireland, to leave college, and leave his family, just for this girl, like, he only knew 2 days. And she couldn't understand why his parents were like, no.
It must be a Canadian myth.
Yeah, and like he was only like 19 or something as well. Like he was very young. She was like 24. I just kept on saying like, oh, how am I going to pay the rent now in the apartment? And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, he said he was going to come over and help me with the rent. Now he's not coming. What am I going to do?
I don't give a shit.
It's like, I don't know what's going on, but I felt bad for her. Though. I was sympathetic. You know, I'm very empathetic person. You know.
Yeah.
It's just one of my downfalls. And I was like trying to chat to her, cheer her up a bit, whatever. But yeah, she was a bit weird. Then she said the weirdest thing. It's like, well, I said, like, how did you afford your apartment for so long? It's so expensive. Like, me and my boyfriend used to live there. I was like, oh, when did you guys break up? Oh, like 4 days ago. It's like, what? Just before she came, like, she's been talking to this guy online for a couple of weeks. like the day before she came to Ireland, she broke off with her dude. The club to Ireland hooked up with this other dude, who she was then planning to bring back a week later to go live in the apartment.
a bit random,
So she kind of said like we kind of like left, you know, that we just hung up the drinks and like kind of went home, or whatever. Well, I went back to the hotel.
Went back to our room, yeah.
No, none of that. No, thank God, no.
What?
None of that. I don't want any of that. But she kind of said, like, oh, can I come stay with you until work a couple of days? It's like, oh, yeah. Taking, like, people say stuff like that, but they never, like, you know, say, like, oh, I should come see you. It's like, yeah, whatever. As all my friends said. I never do. So I just, like, said, yeah, of course you can. Thinking she wouldn't, like, any fucking normal person would. Fucking 4 days there, she shows up like, Jesus, she stayed in the house for a couple of days. And it fell on the time that I was supposed to go with you to the X Factor audition.
Yeah.
So she stayed in my house a couple of days, right? She did her washing and she stayed here and she sat down on the couch and there was nothing going on between me and her. There was no, like, I had no interest in her at this stage because it was kind of obvious she was a bit clingy, to say the least. I wasn't really.
A bit small.
I don't know if that would bother me too much, but I wasn't attracted to her. I got nothing against dwarves, if there's any dwarves in the small people. So it's not big. I like Lord of the Rings, you know, you guys are cool with that. No, but she's like, she stayed here, like, and she did washing, and she got showers, and I got her, like, takeaway one night. So she didn't pay for anything, like, everything was cool. So she booked the hotel that we were staying at for me and her, but she accidentally booked it in English money. So she's the richest, like, somehow, like, I don't know how she did it, but she booked it in English money. So it was like, it came up like, it was going to be like £30 each.
Yeah.
But when you transfer that, it's like, what, like €37?
Probably. Something like that.
Something like that. But I had already given her €30, thinking that it was €30.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was like, oh, yeah, so you still owe me €7.
Oh, Christ.
Like, I didn't say anything. It was like, well, you just stayed in my house the past 2 days, did like your washing, your shower and everything, used my stuff, you got my food, I got your takeaway. You're like €7. Like,
yeah.
I just say, yeah, I'll give it to you in the morning. Never did. But like, yeah, she was really beginning to piss me off at this stage. And but we were in the hotel, and so the next morning me and Shane got really early, about like 6 o'clock, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I had my now wife with me as well, and on that weekend, thinking that she was going to come up to the X Factor with us, but she decided to stay in the room, and. So did Rachel as well decide to stay. So Rachel and Hazel hung out and went into the city together while myself and Johnny went down to...
Well, that sounds very nice. Like, it sounds like they had
just
a nice...
Just to have a bit of a breakaway from
No, that sounds like it, like that, they had a nice... It wasn't really. It was something equivalent to a hostage situation where Rachel kind of just clung on to Hazel and like wouldn't let go for dear life.
Yeah, pretty much so, yeah.
Yeah, like to the point that Hazel almost had a breakdown, I think. And yeah, we're back to that. We shot over because, like, well, we were there from like what 6 a.m. to what like 3 was it?
Oh, it was a long day, all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is going back what, maybe 4 years, we say 4 or 5, maybe
something like that. I think
it was the only Dublin audition he ever did for the X Factor,
yeah.
I believe they didn't find anybody that they but then
Simon Cowell does not like Irish people,
no, he doesn't like contraception either, according to the newspaper. he does like married women though, so. But yeah, it's a long day because basically to ruin the secrets of the X Factor, the first audition day is basically get those shots of the big huge crowds.
Exactly.
Yeah, and things are kind of rigged because on the first day you don't meet Simon or any of those people.
No.
So when you see the bad people on, they've gone through like a 2 day process.
Already they've gone through about 3 or 4 different stages before getting to
Simon and
Simon.
Then.
Well, even though Simon's not doing the
right, I don't know
English
the show
version
like
now anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah, those whoever's on it, I don't know the show. Like,
yeah,
Simon's
yeah.
the person I identify with the show.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, because we're such good friends. But if you think about it, like the really bad people have to go through a 2 day process
to
get on TV. So like clearly they, you know, there's no illusion of like, oh, this person was really good and then they just turn out to be shit. No, like they do full well, or the crazy people that just come along. But the first awful audition day is to just have those big huge crowd shots that they use when they like, and now we're in Dublin, and then the big crowd shots like the hundreds, like thousands. How many people were there, would you say?
I'd say it was about 100,000
better. Felt like it, yeah. It's like, because not only were there the people singing, but the families and friends and everything.
Yeah.
And Dermot O'Leary did a few, like, intro links. yeah. filmed a few in there. So we saw Dermot's cool.
Dermot's the man, actually. I like him.
Is he still doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he is.
I'll ring him.
We'll find out this later.
I'll give him a call, Dermot. Well. What are you up to?
What's happening,
Dermot? But you kind of wonder, though, like, does anybody get through that process? Like, are people already pre-selected? You know what I mean? Like, is it rigged?
When we were sitting down in at the Forest audition stage, it was in Croke Park the day that we were there, and there was as far as I know, we were singing in front of all the different producers of the show on that day.
Yeah,
and we could actually hear them singing. They were sort of tented up that they were singing it in private, so that they wouldn't have the fear of singing in front of.
Well, we're sitting in the stands, basically.
Yeah.
And at the bottom of the stands, there's like a little box room at the top, like a little makeshift box room.
And it's covered up that you can't actually see them singing.
The person, because it would be intimidating, like.
But we could actually sort of still hear them singing, and there was a few people that was pretty good. They had pretty good voices, and they were coming out by. Getting through to the next stage, but there was also shit people. They were coming out with their fucking green cards.
This is it. Like, if you could, like, do they have like one shit person, one good person? Like, is it like ticking a box? That person looks kind of crazy.
people, it was that bad that people were actually lining up to one side that were being picked the most. There was one judge seemingly picking them.
Yeah, it's very random.
One,
I think. Yeah,
one at the most and. By the time when I came to when I was lining up, they had actually figured out that they wanted equal amounts of people on both sides.
Yeah.
Even though people were trying to hop over to one judge in particular because they were
letting more people
go through. But I unfortunately ended up on the wrong side.
Wrong side of the law.
So I obviously didn't get through.
No, but I would say to anybody, like, if you're like, I wouldn't say that's like a barometer of ability at all. Like, just what I saw there, it doesn't seem to have really much to do with talent. It seems it's very random, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a lot already. That it's just like there's just so many people. I think they're just.
I thought I'd done all right. I sang.
Yeah.
That day, I remember singing
Black and Gold.
Black and Gold. Yeah. Sam
Sparrow
song.
Sam Sparrow. That legendary Irish has so many hit songs. It's Black and Gold, and that's about it. Yeah. His concert's really long. Go sing Black and Gold again, people. For the 10th time in a row. Here's the remix, Black and Gold. That's fucking Wiz Khalifa ripped him off. Didn't he? Black and Yellow.
He
just sued that guy. Yeah, I would kind of say, I think it's just, it's just random, I would kind of say, like, it didn't seem to be based on talent or...
Not totally,
And I imagine there's a lot of people that are set up or kind of put through already, or, like, you know, it's rigged or whatever.
Yeah, I find that with a lot of shows, to be honest.
I don't know generally how many people got through to that audition that got to, like, TV. I don't think many people get through that way generally.
Yeah, well, you see, they always have to try and break it down so that they have to do when they're doing the actual audition with Simon and Cheryl.
Yeah.
I think it was Simon and Cheryl during that time and all like that. So they only have one day to actually do all this, so they can only have a certain amount.
Yeah,
going through. So
that's something I think that's why like even before the audition that we did, I think they had people set up like.
Yeah,
I think they have like people they know they want, and maybe like a few people will get through that process, but I think they'd be very limited.
Yeah,
but on the TV show, the retent is in like
that the whole crowd is all going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that
tens of thousands,
all the acts come through this crowd, and it's all like a real kind of like random. And it's like, oh my god, it's all based on talent. What it isn't like, right? I know people are aware of that, but just to kind of when you see a bit more of it. It does seem that those first day auditions are basically to get those big, huge crowd shots that they use a lot in the show.
Yeah.
And for the little links, that I don't think it has really much to do with trying to generally find, talent or generally.
Definitely not when you see the actual recording of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a weird, thing. It's a weird process. But to parallel to that, when we were there, your then fiance, who's not Beyonce, was being like. Rachel was just being like, just hanging over. Like, I didn't
basically, that's what Hazel told me.
Yeah. Hazel rang you about, what, like 2 o'clock saying, like, are you finished? Can you come get me, please?
Help me, please.
Help me, please, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we eventually finished up and had a bite to eat after coming out of the place, and then headed down to meet the girls.
Well, see, I very cleverly left.
Yes.
I got the train back.
So Johnny cleverly left me and Hazel.
Because I thought if I left, then she would go away. Because
I
thought she was waiting for me to come back. Because they're like, oh, well, that's the person I'm hanging out with. And my excuse was I was trying to get a 3 o'clock train home, which is something like that. It was like 3 or 4 o'clock train.
You left me on the drive, Johnny, that day. You left me.
I had enough first. I was over to this room. But she hung out with you guys for the rest of the day, didn't she?
Yeah, basically.
I got a free dinner out of you guys.
Yeah, possibly.
Then, her thing was so weird that she kept on, like, she didn't have a time she was going back to Canada. And so she didn't have a room booked. So she went back to you guys that night. She tried to sleep in your hotel room that night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she was trying to stay with us, I think, as far as I can remember, and we got away from it somehow.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly, but she kept on talking about this guy that Johnny was talking about earlier, and this and the other, is he gonna come back to Canada with me? And
it's like, no.
You kept on going.
You talked to this guy online for 2 weeks, you met him 2 days ago, and he's 19 years old, he's in college, and his parents are always like, no. And they're obviously trying to explain to him how mental that is, because, like, it's crazy. But she deliberately left her bag in your room that morning.
Yeah.
And then she came, like, she was like, oh, I'm just going to go up to the room to get my bag.
Yeah.
And then, like, was like, oh, I'm in your room. I have nowhere to go. Oh, wow. And I think Hazel went, oh, well, see ya.
Basically, I think she definitely didn't stay with us that night.
No, but she tried to.
Got out of it eventually.
I think she slept in the lobby that night. I think she just slept in the big.
Oh, yeah, because she was actually. Now that you say it, you're right. She was actually flying out pretty early that following morning.
Yeah.
And yeah, she decided to sleep in the lobby. I think you're her right.
So then she went back to Canada, and then occasionally on Facebook she pops off her random things to say, like, hey. She puts in random stuff on Facebook, like, congratulations, well done. it's very bizarre, like, the whole thing was
weird. But we're happier in the know that we won't be seeing her.
I want you to listen to this, because we have friends on Facebook, so
yeah.
I hope this because there's no way we could edit that, because there's no way we could edit that to make it look good. There's no way you're like, oh, now she sounds okay. She was a bit mental. But so that's the end of the X Factor. And you never went for New Zealand. You know, you still kind of stopped singing after that, didn't you?
Yeah, I was sort of, just on holidays, I was doing sort of bits and pieces of karaoke.
Right.
Because out on holidays, it's big, sort of doing a lot of karaoke in the holiday resort places.
Yeah,
like
just
that. So it's just a once-off, once-on thing doing it.
Yeah.
And
but
I
you
think,
never went for
no,
Eurostar or any of those, the Irish ones?
Well, I did actually go. I did try Eurostar.
Oh,
well.
Right. How'd that go?
It ended up the same way as the X Factor.
Right. Was it the same process?
Yeah, it's the exact same process.
Right.
You're singing in front of somebody that you don't have a clue who it is.
Right.
It could be a producer. It could be just the manager of the Eichen Hotel.
Don't
really
clean the toilets. Maybe that's where you went wrong. When you read the toilets, you start singing, oh, no. You're not getting through, sorry. Watch the floor, Spectre.
So, yeah, that was it. I was.
But they had another one after Eurostar, didn't they?
What?
They had another show after Eurostar RT, didn't they? They had Eurostar for a couple of years. That was their X Factor.
They had Eurostar. They had the All-Ireland Talent Show.
Right, you didn't go for that
I
one.
Didn't go for any of that. No.
And The Voice, no?
The Voice, no.
No.
Neither.
Voice.
I probably have a better chance in the Voice stuff for some reason, because the judges are turned the other way, that they can't see you until they hear your voice. And I recognise a good voice.
Yeah, no, I do. I think you should go for it, like, definitely. And I think you should keep it up. I think you should try to, like, do more karaoke and stuff around town or whatever, like.
Yeah,
because it's a laugh, like, it's something to do, like, and you know, you can't say, hopefully, we'll go for The Voice if it's on again this year. I don't know, I assume it is.
No,
don't start singing now. We don't have the money for that. So that the end of your music career.
That's the end of my music career.
Your acting career.
My acting career
still going
still
strong.
Still going strong. Maybe RT, somebody in RT actually might hear upon this. And
I don't know, RT spotting talent is a bit unlikely. don't know much over that, mate. The amazing show that RT have, anybody got anything?
As in...
That thing to do? Yeah, what?
That
oh, yeah, that
do.
Show, yeah. yeah.
Fair City?
Fair City.
We're back to Fair City.
It all comes back to Fair City. No, but not to lambast the state of RT.
I reckon I'd be a way better actor than any of them Fair City actors. No offense to any Fair City actors, but...
Just fucking put it out there, shit. Just go for it. Just stick your dick out and be like, fuck yeah. I'm gonna fucking kill all you guys.
God.
But no, we're a couple of days now with Pat Kenny's moved to News Talk.
Good riddance to him. I don't listen to News Talk. I never listened to Pat Kenny when he was on radio nor TV. So, Pash, bye. I won't be listening to you anyway.
Yeah, I think the problem with Pat and all those guys is that they're just overpaid.
Oh, now you said it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really... You just kind of look at it like, why are you being paid so much money? Like, it doesn't...
I wonder, was that his influence to move to News Talk?
I think it is, because you're supposed to take a pay cut, and I don't know if you... I read the article, because I'm intrigued by it. Pat lost a lot of money during the recession. That's just my phone. And so he lost a lot of money. He was going to retire. He had property, and he had,
He should have.
He should have, yeah.
How the hell did News Talk actually pick him up?
but he lost a lot of money and he needs to keep working.
Like we all do.
But I think you kind of think at his age and all the years he had under his belt, he would have a nest egg or something.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he does.
He kind of said he needs the money. So when RT were cutting pay cuts and he took a cut. But then he just went, well, I'm not taking any more cuts. Half a million a year is not enough. Yeah, that's no, what? I won't be able to afford 4 holidays this year, so no. And my new car, so no. This has always been the big point that the RT stars make, is if you don't pay us the money, we'll go somewhere else. And I think everybody in Ireland feels that, fine, go somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
Because we would rather not pay you a million a year to do 4 radio shows a day and present a TV show once a week. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't equal,
They always go on about that they're actually doing work throughout the whole day.
Yeah,
but
it should be for
that
money.
Shows prepared for the next day.
Yeah, but if you're getting a million a year, it should be doing, you're doing you should be doing that,
If you want more money, become a footballer.
Yeah, Pat Kenny's going to sign for United next week. This is what this all is about. He's going to play Shreya Rooney.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a weird ecosystem, because the focus is always on radio in RT, Pat Kenny, right, over those guys get paid a lot of money for predominantly their radio show, because they do very little TV.
Yeah,
people pay mostly for the TV. You don't want the TV license and that kind of stuff. They don't really get a return on their TV investment.
No.
I can't name 5 shows in the past 5 years in the RT that I watch. That's true, that's just being honest. I see a couple of episodes of Republic Telly, I watch a couple of episodes of New Comedy Department.
Yeah, Republic Telly's getting a bit, you know what's going to happen pretty much every week in Republic Telly.
You can say that because I don't think I work on it, so I can't really say anything. I can't say anything about it. But no,
Burner does shit.
Burner's cool, I remember Burner, we hung out, we did a gig together, but Burner's cool. So
I like Burner,
I think that's everybody's favourite part of the show, is Burner.
Yeah.
I think if he branched out by himself, got his own show, I think people will watch it.
And of course, I fantasize about Jennifer Maguire as well.
Yeah, she fantasized about you too.
Oh, cool.
It's a pretty sad state of affairs when you say that, past 5 years, I can't even find shows that come into that I would actually generally be I like that
interesting
show.
Interesting to watch, yeah.
Interesting to watch. If you name 5 BBC shows, I could do it, or 5, well, not ITV, because I don't watch ITV, but going through the stations, I could think of, shows that I liked and enjoyed. It's a pretty sad state of affairs. Of saying, can you think of any shows that you like on that station?
Well,
RT2. You don't
RT, let's see. There's No, I can't. Like, I'm basically such a big fan of sport in general. Like, I'd be watching sports channels in general. Like, I've got Sky at home, so I just watch Sky Sports or Eurosport or something like that, or media channels. RT is well down the list for me, so, like, any of the shows that would be on RT, I really don't have a clue what the... Do they do CSI?
They don't make those shows, is what I mean. They buy those shows in from America.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? They should be making their own shows. Should have, like, not the Irish hits. Like,
ooh, they have a really good another music show now, The Hit. Ooh, The Hit.
I'm not seeing
Johnny knows nothing about this.
Explain the concept. Go ahead.
The concept is there's a group of songwriters. It's all pretty much something on the line of, instead of actually getting singers, they want songwriters to come together, to get a group of songwriters and actual proper artists. Like last week there was Irish, Brian Kennedy was on, and Ryan Shaughnessy from Britain's Got Talent, and he'd done the Voice, the first series of The Voice, I think, in Ireland there.
Alright, yeah, the skinny kid.
Yeah. And it was him and Brian Kennedy having to choose between whatever the songwriter's songs had chosen, and they had to lock in whatever song that they liked, and it would go down to whoever won on the night. That song would be released that week and be put into the charts.
Right.
And last week that basically started sort of there a week or two ago. And
but do you know, like,
that's one of RT's new shows.
Yeah,
that's going on there now.
Yeah, like with MasterChef, show about people cooking. Fantastic. I was gonna say the best selling album in Ireland most weeks only sells 700 copies. That's all it takes to be like the best selling album in Ireland.
Jesus, no, I didn't know that.
No,
like, it's getting a pretty bad state of
affairs. Yeah, like that's pretty.
That.
I don't know about singles, but I would assume singles aren't much better. Like.
Yeah.
You know, so it's weird.
I think I think there's so many free music download sites now that
we fully endorse, by the way.
That it just comes to not people not going on to iTunes or buying or doing wherever to get their music to buy, like that.
I mean, like, you know, I don't really download music much anymore because I don't really get time to listen to music. I mostly either listen to podcasts or talking to myself. But I never really downloaded movies, and I did for a while download TV shows, but I would kind of consider that free because I can't buy the TV show anyway, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
in terms of new episodes that are coming out every week, I can't like buy it.
Yeah,
and I have no facility to buy it. I'm talking about the American shows like that we watch and like Community and stuff like that, so it's my only option is to download that because I can't pay to watch it the week it comes out in America, and it's not shown.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, I mean, I think the conversation about whether or not piracy is harmful is kind of like, you have to see HMV's gone, you know, extra vision's gone out of business. I don't think anybody can argue that piracy
is sort of winning.
Yeah, it's winning. Yeah, it's winning. I'm the war that...
sorry for all the music industries. Like, I know all the famous music stars would like...
Well, see, that, like,
I just to be buying the music.
See, like, the top guys are still okay because they're selling tickets for shows and merchandise.
Yeah.
It's labels and smaller groups and that kind of thing, and what would be kind of used to be house bands that used to just play on tracks or stuff like that. They're losing money. They're losing royalties.
Yeah.
But like, there's still obviously money to be made in the industry, but there's, in terms of the retail section, like
it's
the HMVs and the extra,
like
it's gone. Like
can't co-op.
Yeah, can't compete, and it's gonna be gone. And I don't know. I kind of like when people say stuff like, "Oh, piracy isn't harmful." Clearly, it is. Like, and it's like, I mean, it's very hard to argue say that. Oh no, it isn't.
Yeah.
And people make these comments like, "Oh, we should just download old movies." But if everybody downloads old movies, then where do people get money to make new movies, or anything? You know. So it's kind of weird. It's a weird time, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know too much about piracy.
No, because Shane's still on airtime. He's on airtime trying to download stuff.
That's why I've gone sort of quiet in the past 2 minutes while trying to talk about piracy.
Yeah, well, I'll just talk over. But we're going to this is kind of like part one. What we're gonna wrap this up, and what we're gonna do now, we're gonna do a different podcast, me and Shane.
Yeah.
He doesn't know this yet. I'm gonna spring this on him.
Okay.
But what we're gonna do now, we're gonna watch a couple of videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And we're gonna kind of like commentate on them, kind of like a commentary, and we'll have that up online probably soon. So if you're listening, this is kind of like part one or episode one, kind of finished. And then we'll go through that, and that'll be kind of like part two or phase two.
Cool.
So do you want
to
say?
I like the sound of that. This is the end of my first podcast with my.
And well done, Shane.
My buddy Johnny.
First of many. next time we'll have Shane Hughes here with the TV.
Hey!
Two Shanes.
We can have a Shane versus Shane moment.
Hopefully, one day we'll have a woman on the podcast. That's another goal of ours.
Well, we'd like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd like that.
Isn't like coming along one day.
Yeah, his Chinese wife. So yeah, so goodbye for now.
Bye everybody.
Blah blah.
Good luck.
Blah 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 blah
blah
blah blah.